The format of tonight's meeting is 2 10-minute speakers, the first of which will speak on the ninth tradition, followed by our information break, and then our main speaker, who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker to share on the ninth tradition is Rodney.
Hi, I'm Rodney. I'm an alcoholic. And you're not Peggy, are you? So just some stats. My sobriety date, September 14th, 2012. My sponsor is Adam B. I have the privilege of sponsoring, and I've worked the steps and try to live in 10, 11, and 12 to the best of my ability. Oh, and yeah, this is my home group. For those of you who may be new to this meeting or new to this group, just by way of explanation, on the first Tuesday of every month, the Atlantic group gives a tradition talk, and the tradition that we discuss matches the number of the month that we're in. So today, September 1st, 2015, which is the ninth month, which is the ninth tradition. Secondly, I'd just like to say that I was the second choice to speak tonight. So sir, I found out on Friday that I was asked to do this. I said no. And then I said yes. But I just want to warn you so you can adjust your expectations accordingly. I should have done this before. So, the ninth tradition states, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. I'm going to break that down to you in the two parts. Based on my research, based on what I've done, and I have all these papers to prove I did some actual work here. AA as such ought never be organized. And my read of that and everything that I looked at is that AA is not, should not be organized, is not organized. Basically, it's controlled anarchy. The second part of that is, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. In other words, AA has just enough organization, organizes itself just enough in order to enable us to do our 12-step work, to get the message out to those who are still sick and suffering. To that extent, AA is organized, but not an inch more beyond that spot. So that's it. So really, I think I'm done. So let me read the long form because I'm told I better. And it is long. Each AA group needs the least possible organization. Rotating leadership. Can you lower this just a little bit? Rotating leadership, that's great. Rotating leadership is the best. The small group may elect its secretary, the large group, its rotating committee, and the groups of a large metropolitan area, their central or intergroup committee, which often employs a full-time secretary. The trustees of the General Service Board are, in effect, our AA General Service Committee. They are the custodians of our AA tradition and the receivers of voluntary AA contributions by which we maintain our AA General Service Office at New York. They are authorized by the groups to handle our overall public relations, and they guarantee the integrity of our principal newspaper, the AA Grapevine. All such representatives are to be guided in the spirit of service, for true leaders in AA are but trusted and experienced servants of the whole. They derive no real authority from their titles. They do not govern. Universal respect is the key to their usefulness. That is indeed the long form of that. But essentially, again, it expands on the idea that AA should be as little organized as humanly possible in order to make our work possible. So what does this really mean? In AA Comes of Age, Bill Wilson, our co-founder, wrote, when Tradition 9 was first written, it said, Alcoholics Anonymous needs the least possible organization. In the years since then, we have changed our minds about that. Today, we are able to say with assurance that Alcoholics Anonymous, AA as a whole, should never be organized at all. Then in seeming contradiction, we proceed to create special boards and committees, which in themselves are organized. How can we have an unorganized movement which can and does create a service organization for itself? You know, I don't know if you understood that, but basically he contradicts himself. It's like another one of those AA paradoxes, you know, like the one that says you have to, in order to keep it, you have to give it away. And in order for AA to not be organized, they need to be organized just enough. This tradition was not meant to create any rules or restrictions on organization. I'm gonna have to speed up. But it was really meant to prevent AA from having any organized direction or government. So unlike most organizations, which have a leader, and then there's a hierarchy of who, you know, who answers to who and who bosses who, all the way down, and at the very bottom are the lowest, the peons. AA is completely upside down. In fact, they have an upside down triangle, and I hope you up there in the balcony can see this. But if you can't, that's the biggest I could get it. See, Bob, Bob told me to have this, and luckily I did. It's an upside down triangle. And at the very bottom of it, for those of you that can't see it, is the General Service Board of AA. And General Service Board of AA and AA World Services. The people that sit here in New York, up on the Upper West Side, those people at the very bottom, they're, in a sense, in the other way of thinking about an organization, the peons. It's the people at the top, the AA group. The AA group is the head of the organization AA. And as members, we are AA. We control AA. We control our groups through our group conscience. We are the head of this organization. And that can never be forgotten. And that's how AA, you know, and if you think about it, that's like nuts. I mean, really, what organization or government in history has ever survived with that sort of structure? And that's why, you know, I think that... you know, it's really divinely inspired that we're able to maintain this structure for 80 years and still be so successful and still carry the message to the people out there who are still sick and suffering. And you know, really, if you think about it, this tradition works in tandem with tradition two, which states that for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. So, again, us at the top, through our group conscience expressed in our group, and I'm sorry for, you know, if I should have like a screen with a projector, I could do a PowerPoint, but just imagine the groups, through our group conscience, control the whole organization, and it's our group. It's through our group conscience, as it says in tradition two, that God speaks, that God is the authority for AA. And you know, if God bothers you, you know, HP, whatever works for you, but it's something greater than ourselves that is really controlling our organization. All right, I'm going to have to, I made far more notes than I really needed after all. The whole idea, though, behind this tradition, in all of these traditions, is the idea of keeping it simple. And in the 12 traditions illustrated, it talks about how the last words that Dr. Bob said to Bill Wilson were, keep it simple. And Bill Wilson thought that we need to, in terms of keeping it simple, that we need to distinguish sharply between the spiritual simplicity and functional simplicity. When we get into questions of actions by groups, by areas, and by AA as a whole, we find that we must, to some extent, organize to carry the message or else face chaos. And chaos is not simplicity. So, again, to the extent that we want to carry the message, we're going to organize so that we don't fall apart in chaos. So, in the lack of chaos, we maintain our simplicity. So, now let me talk about how this tradition applies. Are you kidding me? All right. I'm down to 1 minute. So I'll just say very quickly, this group is a very large group. We have a rotating committee structure, which is our steering committee. Our steering committee has 12 members. They serve for terms of 12 years. And in order to get on the steering committee, because this question comes up a lot at the Thursday night beginners meeting, the qualifications are you have to have 10 years of sobriety, be a member of good standing, and get elected by these people. It's really simple. So that's how you get on the steering committee. But honestly, all of us have a voice in this group, as I said. All of us speak through our group conscience, our you know, the steering committee, who are but trusted servants. They are not our leaders. They act in a way that is in the best interest of this group in order for us to carry the message of AA forward. And thank you so much for this honor.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Jenny.
Thanks. Hi, Atlantic Group. I'm terrified. I don't like to say the word promise because I'm weird with commitment. Go figure. Speak into the mic. But I can guarantee you that I'm going to be brutally honest and as honest as I can be within keeping primary purpose and group conscience. Hi, I am Jenny, and I'm for sure an alcoholic. Thanks for the reminder. So just like anniversary night times 10. Okay. What it was like, it was a nightmare. honesty, right? Oh, man. I did not come here. Well, I think the best way to put it when I'm speaking to newcomers is I usually tell them that I think my higher power sort of just slipped it into my schedule. Because I would not have come in here willingly at all. I was in outpatient, and my therapist said, well, hey, Jen, why don't you go with this girl? Her name was Jess. She was a member of Atlanta Group at the time. She's no longer around. I don't know where she is. Hopefully she's safe and sober. I don't know. But he said, why don't you go with Jess to an AA meeting? And I thought, all right, whatever. I got nothing to do tonight, unfortunately. I'll go with her, whatever. I guess she needs a buddy. I don't know. So we went. It was 79th Street Workshop, and there were no chairs in a circle. That's good. I would have stayed regardless, though. It was weird. I don't remember the meeting. I just remember having to say that I was an alcoholic out loud for the first time, not in a really funny, I'm so cute, loud, I'm an alcoholic for sure kind of way, but in a very serious, and I was going to own it regardless. I'd been saying I'm an alcoholic for a really long time. But the meaning behind it was definitely, definitely different. I'm so nervous right now and over-caffeinated. I'm sorry, guys. So, 79th Street Workshop meeting. I found myself there with this girl. And after the meeting, she said, well, you know, if you thought this was okay, why don't you come with me to a meeting tomorrow? It's my home group. I didn't know what that was. It's the Atlantic Group. Didn't care what that was. And, you know, it's going to be on the Upper East Side again, which is so out of my way. I live on the Upper West Side, so anything across the park is not really of interest to me. Honesty. I was even a lazy drunk. Like anything and not in my neighborhood, I wasn't really interested in. But anyhow, so I met her at Thursday Atlanta Group meeting. Like I said, it was just slipped into my schedule because I would not have shown up there willingly. And I met some women. I met some women there and got phone numbers. I felt like I was being asked to prom, if I had even gone to prom. So yeah, I imagine what being asked to prom would even be like by women. I don't know. Popular, what that would have been like, maybe. I don't know. not my journey. I took numbers. People asked if I would do an assignment. I like school. I had a kick-ass GPA. I said yes, but didn't do it true to form. Thank you. Not interested in doing that. Didn't call any of the women. But I was told that there would be more meetings on the Upper West Side that I could do. I met some women for coffee the next day, and I was late, because that's how I do. I'm still late to things. I work through that, and it's a struggle. Being honest, it's lateness is not something I am proud of, but it's something that I work through. It's a defect that I have of self-centeredness and fear, for sure. I was not aware when I was drinking of my selfishness. I have learned what selfishness is and what it looks like. It's not me not wanting to share my toy with you, or not wanting to share possessions. It's me being late to things. It's me not showing up when I say I'm going to show up. It's me not being willing to do something for someone who is not me. It's being inconvenienced, no matter what it is, small, big. It's just being, it's being helpful. And I've learned that these are the things that are going to help me not just stay sober, but help me live and help me be helpful. Because if it were up to me, I would not be doing anything for anyone ever. I would not be up here, because I'm terrified. I would not have said yes. And even when Marla asked me to speak, thank you, Marla, wherever you are, I didn't want to have to say yes. I was really hoping I was going to be busy. I was really hoping I would somehow magically have something to do. I never have things to do. I thought maybe I would have a job by now. I haven't worked a whole lot in recovery. I have a part in that. This is really scary to be up here, but it's really amazing. I'm so in my head right now. It's. I don't know. Hopefully, I'm saying something that's helpful to someone. Hopefully, I feel like I'm wasting my time up here and wasting all of your time. Oh man, this is my first time speaking for my home group, but it's an amazing experience. So thank you again. I know I already said that. No, please don't. No. I have no business being up here. I have no business being up here. I was taken through the steps. I have some sober time. I'm so grateful for everyone and anyone who's taken even just a moment to help me, say a kind word to me, extended their hand, asked me to be of service when I never want to. My sponsor, Colette, she's so amazing. Giving her time and still calling me even when I don't want to call her back, chasing me even when I don't want to do step work. And my amazing sponsee. I never thought I would have a sponsee. And at the same time, I thought, why don't I have a sponsee? And as much as I didn't want to be up here ever, I was thinking, why haven't I been up here ever? Just being honest. I have 1 minute. I had no idea, honestly, I had no idea what I was going to say here today, but I'm shaking, over-caffeinated, and nervous and scared and just so grateful. I have so much gratitude. I used to fellowship all the time. I haven't been around a whole lot recently due to circumstances beyond my control and also still a little bit within my control because I have a part in everything, unfortunately. But, oh man, I'm really grateful for any time that I can actually make a meeting. I've been under a lot of financial constraints recently, a lot. And when they say that you can lose things, I didn't know that that was true, and I didn't know that you could lose not big things. I am so grateful every time I can swipe my Metro card because I'm under such financial stresses right now. I thought you would just lose maybe your job, which is a big deal, but I haven't worked a whole lot. And I'm going to say goodbye now. So, gratitude. Thank you so much, you guys.